Item number two, briefing by Chad and C3 and Bandata Mining, Black Mountain Mining, with the Chamber of Commerce due to the request. I just want to give a background on this one. Vandata is a mining company that is originally from India. It operates in the Northern Cape. We have two companies here, 3C Projects and Chad Construction. They both have had, again, an unpleasant relationship with Vandata. We also had invited Vandata to this meeting, but they then sent a letter apologizing. The CEO of Vandata, Zinc International, is apologizing that he is unable to come due to prior commitments. In any case, we have the two companies that have experienced the elbowing by Vandata, and we will ask them to make the presentation.
Thank you very much. My company is called 3C Projects. We were contracted, or we were approached by Vandata in 2015 to design and build 100 houses. Initially it was 100 houses, then it ended up with negotiations saying that they have three other companies also in line for the project. They want us to build 3 show houses, and then they will make a decision. To come to the very short point is when the decision was made and negotiation started, we were negotiated with, our initial price was 5,750 rand per square meter. We were then approached by 2 of the company's staff members requesting that we reduce it, and then we, thereafter, if and when we are carrying on with the contract for the 100 houses, we will be then, we can then carry on then on that price. If we do not carry on, the 300 rand per square meter that was reduced will then be refunded back to us. That was never the problem that we, because we were confident that we will carry on with the project, okay? But the moment we set, we basically arrived on site, numerous problems started to become imminent. First of all, we were supposed to be given an area where we will be able to, it's called a lay-down area for our staff members. That wasn't provided. It was only after the fact that we were given a lay-down area that had no electricity and no ablution facilities and stuff like that. That was the first problem. Then after that, the mine got involved with the union and they rejected the accommodation that we provided for them. We were then subsequently reprimanded and said that we must, the accommodation wasn't allowed. That was an additional costing that wasn't, it wasn't discussed with us. First of all, there was a lot of the contractual agreements that wasn't discussed pre-hand with us. The basic story is that on the end of the day, with all the costs and Vandata not accommodating us with and agreeing and sticking to their contract, we were subsequently forced to close down our company. Like I had just over 200 employees that was laid off. There were so many of the small companies in that area that I know of 11 companies that are sitting with the same problem, and that's how it became imminent to me. One of the companies that I worked with, Freeglow, the lady's called Mildred, she contacted me and said that I must get hold of Kurt from Chad Construction because the same problems that we were facing financially and with the holding off of you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do this, you have to do it this way, stuff that wasn't discussed with us, but was then afterwards, it was after the fact implemented into the contract. And I got a hold of Kurt, and he said, well, they're sitting with this problem, this problem, this problem. That's what's happening there with them now. And my first question was to him, Kurt, were you also contracted to do the design and the supply? And he told me, no, they were handed the supply of the building plans. Then I went onto their website and had a look. There, Vedanta is using my intellectual property, my building plans. They're handing it over to the next contractors, and they're just carrying on with the same building plans. The problem that we had was we didn't carry on with the contract, because after the whole three houses was now built, me and Silver Line, we were then told, okay, no, we must only carry on with five houses now. The five houses then became, we told them that we, you must remember now, the contract was for 100 houses. The profit of the whole contract was in the bulk of it. Negotiation of your prices and everything. And on the end of the day, they used that, they said, we will give you five houses. My personal and my professional opinion is they used that as a ploy not to fund us, because the same negotiations that was done with us, with the downgrading of your the houses with 300 rand per square meter, that was basically the same with Silver Line. And when they didn't carry on and we didn't carry on, they said, but we did offer you. They snowballed us from the beginning, and they're exploiting smaller companies, because the other smaller companies in that area has got the same problems. They use them, and then for some up to a point, and then they put them one side, and they use them for another point, and then they put them to the... It's not a continuation of business. It's basically use them for what we've now got the design out of this company. Now we're using it for the next company. It's not a sustainable business. They forced the close down of so many companies, and my company is one of them. My biggest mistake that I made was getting into business with Vedanta, because they exploited the fact that we are not such a large company, number one. Number two, and the fact that they manipulated us into accepting certain parts of a contract, and then afterwards used that against us. The problem that we are facing now is there's some of the guys that's in that area that I still have to pay money to, suppliers. I don't have it because of the fundamentals of the contract that they used to get rid of the smaller companies. And second of all, the fact that the communication, and this is not a lack of our part, it was communicated by them, and we traveled to Achenais and back, not once, but there were several meetings that was done on-site and at their main offices in Sandton, where they could convey some of the contractual agreements, but they never did. They didn't disclose it. And it ended up backfiring in not just our... wasn't just us. It was Silver Line as well, and Free Glow, and quite a few. And I know for a fact that Chad Construction is sitting with the same problems. Thank you.
Chad, if you can also... And give the background as to what made you, how did you come to know about the portfolio committee?
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks, everybody. I got to hear about this committee through a friend of mine that was also involved with had a problem with Ericsson and couldn't get any way forward. His name is George from Durban, and then he introduced me to Lanche, and that's how he got involved with this. We are a construction company that basically builds throughout South Africa. There's a profile I've issued to everybody, where we build for IDT, Starlet International, for Eskom, and we've done quite a few fair-sized projects with the greatest of success. We're trading and in business since 2001. Not one project has went sour as the project we're busy with now. And when I got, well, when this lady got hold of me and mentioned to me with the experience she had, it was like deja vu. It was actually a rude awakening to see the trend that this Indian company takes forward, and it does it to every single company. And that's when I decided, let me do my homework. And we are not the only company. I can tell you about close to 12 companies that's got the same experience. Out of the 12 companies, five of them is liquidated to date. Other guys are still busy paying back debt. Now, we've taken over this project. Site handover was the 10th of October. On the 11th of October, we had a site meeting, site handover, where they also promised us exactly the same, a labor camp, a laid-on area, where we must put up a labor camp, and we can do a laid-on area. So they phoned us, come, we are used to sell the trucks, horse and trailer, everything gets to site with our staff, buses, we get there. Fine, there's your area. We then, on the 16th of October, started erecting, putting our laid-on area down, putting our accommodation for our staff. They said, whoa, stop. You cannot use this, the community is complaining. So I said, okay, this is now 16th of October, the 29th of October, still waiting, nothing. We commenced construction of our laid-on area, where we actually, our site office is going to happen on the 29th of October, 29th to the 30th of October. We still have not received the labor camp. Then I had to make alternative arrangements. We had to go and hire out a little farm. I went to the local town, which is called Pela, which is 100 kilometers out of town. So I hired a few houses, got my staff in. The rest I had to send back to Joburg. And you see, 90% of my staff comes from all over South Africa, because we actually recuperate our staff as we do projects. We train people and we absorb them in the company. UGE, Peter Maritzburg, Port St. John's, Tutuwa, wherever. So they come from all over, and we get there and we allocate the company and we work there for the year or the period of the contract. So when we got there, we had no accommodation for the staff. The people I had enough units for, I could rent houses from. I said, fine, you go to Pela, you go to Springbok. And I knew I had a budget, a certain amount, to cater for my staff. The rest, I said, guys, let's go back, reimburse, and they went back. All right, on the 31st of October, the client still got no back, no response from us with regards to this laid-on area for our labor camp. Carried on the 1st of November, we actually sent a mail to them, told them the bridge of contact, and they must address us immediately. 5th of December, Chad Construction newly designated campsite was finally decided by the mine where we can now physically put up our laid-on area. This is now from the client, the 5th of December. The 9th of December, they promised we'll hand it over to us, but then we shut Chad Construction, the building trade shuts down. So we closed down and I said, oh my guys, home for December. They sent us a mail on the 16th of December to say, no, we got an area from you. We got back the 9th of January. Went, there's no sewage, there's no water connection, site's not graded, and I went back to him. I said, guys, this is now October, November, December, January. 4 months, it's costing me money for rental for these guys. Exactly what this company went through and a few other companies. Went back to them, nothing. This went on for close to March the 11th. They handed the area over to us. I landed up spending close to R500,000 on units. This is units that I've actually purchased for the guys to live in. You know, with air cons, being so hot and being so cold, with geysers, showers, everything. My staff is with me close to 10, 15 years, all of them. And that is our biggest dilemma. So, went to the mine, fine, put our units down. This is in March. Till today, they do refuse to give us electricity to that area. None of the guys can use a generator. I said, excuse me, this is my, I'm not going to let my staff live like that. First of all, it's dangerous. They must cook on gas. I said, no, it's not. They're not your two what's name. They're here to work, and I make them comfortable. They refuse, no, they can live like that. So I said, no. Gave them a bridge notice, still didn't respond. They then asked me to hand over houses. I said, cannot. I need staff to build these houses, and my staff needs accommodation to get down here. Now, yes, we can carry on with a few houses I'm renting, so we carry on building certain works. They turned that down. We then gave them an extension of time and a bridge notice claiming 77 days. They just shut it out. So they basically just shrug it once if they don't respond to you. Then we picked up other contractual issues where they'll give you a drawing for 120 square meters. That's fine, you're paying your square meter rate. They issue a drawing which says 167 square meters. Now if you take on a volume of 100 houses, 15,000 square meters works up to 70 million. If you take it on the actual square meters, works up to 95 million. So we brought that up to the Watson and said, no, they it's a fixed contract value. I said, that's not a fixed contract value. There's the contract value as per your drawings. But exactly what this company's been through, we're going through the same thing. I'll give you the issue drawings. The square meters are not right. They'll mess you around. For example, I've got endless labor problems where my staff will come down for a month, then I've got to send them back. And we've employed close to 300 local people. First month, we've done training. Now, we're actually a company that does not build houses, we print houses. We've got machines where a building like this will print in 5 hours, we'll put it up in a day. We get local people, we train them how to assemble it, erect the buildings, clad it. So most of my staff is from the local community. And when we're done with that project, certain key players or certain teams from that community travels with the company. And unfortunately with this particular town, we just, this company that you mentioned, Glow, Free Glow, it's also a company that we've trained. Very successful, done close to 8 houses for me, erected it. But at the end of the day, we had to actually pull back because the mind is not paying us for work that's not done. For example, we will actually do raw foundation. We say, there's a variation order. No, carry on, carry on. When it comes time to pay, we're sitting with 3.6 million rand that just refused to pay. I said, no, I'm not going to pay. That's a fixed contract value. I said, it's not in the contract. And the contract stipulated that earthworks is not included in the prices. For example, the electricity to the labor camp. It stipulates in the contract that Chad Construction is liable for the articulation of electricity inside the laydown area and not from the municipal. And we're not allowed, no private entity can connect to municipal. And that's the situation. We've got a situation now where we almost 9 months on site and our PNG is depleted. We actually got a situation where we cannot get any more income because we... The mine's actually delaying process tactics now so that we actually cannot produce more houses. And the rate we carry another month or two, we're going to have to stop, you know, and that's what they want. They mean bridge a contract. But it's a major, major financial headache.
Okay. Thank you.
If I may say something else, also with them, they're forcing you to use the local suppliers. And the local suppliers in the areas... where some of our suppliers could have come from Johannesburg and Pretoria, it would have been cheaper hauling it from here to that area. They're basically forcing you to use the locals where the price there is basically two to three times higher than what you can get it for in Gauteng in the areas. And then also with the staff, we also use local guys in the area. But with the local guys, the staff turnover is of such an extreme amount because the locals, Achenais itself, the town is too small. Then you basically source from the local areas, Pella and Springbok and those areas. But the guys that you basically, the guys that's got jobs, they don't give their jobs up. The guys that you basically get that's available in the area, they be riddled with drug use. And that's not something that they basically inform you. You work with the local government and you work with the local workforce. But when you get to a point, they've got 5 or 6 skilled workers that they can say you may use them. But that was also one of the problems. And then when you conveyed it over to the mine and said, listen, you have to bring in your own guys now. You can't work with just 5 skilled workers. You have to bring in you can't work with the locals. They were not interested. They said, because they used that also, they said, no, if you do not use locals, then you are in breach of contract. So they, instead of assisting the smaller companies, they basically just stick to their guns and say, no, this and this. You're in breach of contract if you do that. You're in breach of contract if you do that. It's very difficult to communicate with them, like Kurt from Chad Construction. They, when you relay something to them, even in on email, they do not respond and they basically stonewall you.
You just trick with the trend they follow. With all the companies in South Africa. It's like very skillful guys that's closed their doors. Now, the trend they follow, for example, is they'll give you a contract. They do not want to hear about a bullet quantity, which is the best thing to work in South Africa. They say, here's a lump sum of whatever the contract is, 70 million, 20 million, 10 million. Now, they give you a lump sum. What actually happens is, if something extra gets added to the contract, they don't want to add that money to the contract. They expect you still to build it. I say, no, I'm paying you 20 million rand or 70 million rand. You must do the earthworks and you must do it. So that's called scope creep in a normal contract. Any other mine we work for, like Kumba, they'll say, all right, I've got a variation order, please, I need you to add so many square meters to that building, and that's a variation order, that's the extra, we'll amend your contract. Not this people. They say, here's the contract, yes, it's a fixed contract, if it was part of the tender process. But it's a fixed problem, and it's a scope creep coming from, due to unforeseen things from them, then they have to put the bill for it. But no, they do not. So there's a lot of extra stuff they bring you to the site, and I said, right, now you start. Now when you get there, they give you this whole HR process you must go through. With Kumba, they give you a full file and say, please stand down HR process. Yeah? tender on occupation health and safety process, and yet tender on the certificate process. And we tendered accordingly. Not for this mine. This mine just gives you three drawings, which was, this company's drawings. We priced the drawings accordingly. We said, right, we're pricing the Mining Act. No, price the OSHA. I said, fine, we priced the OSHA. Only when we got to site, now we fall under the mine. So that is the big difference in costing. Where you're pricing on the Mining Act and you're pricing on the OSHA. But that's how they manipulate the whole contract, the bill. I mean, if you look at the contract as well, the square meters of the house compared to the square meters of the actual building, it's chalk and cheese. If I give you, it's just figures. You get a contract value of 74 million rand, right? That's per square meter. Then you add your site establishment to that, which is about normally 7%, 3.5% your PNGs and your earthworks. What they've done, they said, no, here's your square meter price, and in that square meter price, you must put your earthworks in there, you must fit your PNGs in there, you must fit your site establishment. So that brings my contract price down to 3,000 rand a square meter I must build those houses for. I said, it's impossible. I must do skill development still for train the local people, because I cannot bring all the people from wherever, you know. And like the lady said, 90% of the people is problematic. I've got a person I work on, where is his problem, address his problem, you know, and try and wean him out of his dirty habits and then get the guys going. I mean, we spend close to 15,000 to 20,000 rand for a team just on medicals to find out that the entire team is going to fail because of drugs. And that should have been the mine's responsibility into the community, to uplift the community. And they just, no, so what, you know? Scary.
Honorable Chan.
Thank you. I was out before I was able to...
Sorry.
I just wanted to get your names before we...
Rachel.
And?
Kurt Alexander.
Okay, and your surname?
Deploy.
Okay. So as I understand it, your client, Vedanta Mining, which I've just had a look at online, it's an Indian company. Or at least it was started in India, listed on the London Stock Exchange, has operations in a number of countries around the world, and its chief executive is the former chief executive of Rio Tinto Zinc, Tom Albanese. So we're talking about a seasoned business executive here. So the first question is, the projects that you were asked to contract, are they part of the socioeconomic requirements placed upon mining companies in terms of the mining charter? Okay, so basically you were requested to build houses for the mine employees. Is that correct?
Yes. The Hamsberg mine, when we started in 2015 with the contract, they just...
Hamsberg mine, yes. Where is that?
It is also in Achenais. It's just an off-section of it. It's a new area.
Where? Sorry?
It's in Achenais in the Northern Cape. They just started with in Afrikaans it's called Oopskroef mine, open cast mine. That was the main reason for them, because they got the mining rights for that to start that in 2015. And that's where that's how we were approached to construct. It was 500, then it said no, not 500, it's now 100, and then they started with the negotiations of 3, and then everything went south from there.
What do you seem to be describing, both of you, is a pattern of contracts management which is prejudicial towards the construction companies.
Well, I was going to say, if you Google the article of Vedanta Mining, what happened in Zambia, where the Zambian government actually took Vedanta to mine, sued them for 1.5 billion and wanted to base in UK. Exact same situation where they actually defrauded the government and contractors and quite a few things. Look at exactly what they're now applying with contractors are, they're doing the same thing. And it's a trend with us now, with the construction companies or companies small that I know of, about mining. Simple thing like the guy will go, do home office and divide a humongous chain of 3,000 to 1,000 for their mines. They tell this guy, so give me the supply of the mine, the chain, so we can see if he's the right spec. They can buy the chain directly from the supplier. That's how unethical these guys.
But the question I have is why is this behavior in their interests? What are they doing? Why are they doing this? I mean, they're doing to save money. Are they doing it because they're just unethical per se, or what is their motivation in you know, indulging in business practice that results in large numbers of people being laid off?
For instance, 3C Project was basically contracted to do the design and supply. Then we were told, okay, we cannot give you now the 100 houses, build the 5 houses. And we said, no, we can't do that. Because our profit lies within the 100 houses. They then said, okay, now, but you're now in breach of contract. We don't have to pay you back that 300 rand per square meter that we negotiated for you to break down. And then we weren't contacted afterwards. Then they took our design, not paying for it, using our design because they've got now the design. I've already paid 200 and something thousand rand for it, and they gave it to the next person. So they're making, they're basically cutting short. They're using one company to do the one thing, and then they take that and they move it over to the next company. It is my personal opinion and professional opinion is they are unprofessional and unethical.
But have you taken this to the board? I mean, how high have you taken this? Because I mean, clearly any board that is worth its salt would see that this is unethical business practice and should be condemned. Continue one more question. You come to the committee for help, which is a good thing, but it shouldn't have to get here. So a question I need to ask you is, what do you think needs to be out there for small businesses like yours to seek relief in instances where you believe you've been treated unfairly by a customer? Should it be a small claims? Should it be a business court? I mean, what, an ombudsman? What type of intervention should you have access to be able to resolve disputes such as this?
Absorb the cost of buying those units for my farm. I went to hire a farm
4 or 5 million rand worth. With us, they got a bit more, you know what I mean? But it's not the height of the business. I mean, we've trained since 1999, we've never had actual rates. And we've got the stage where, yes, we've got a contract for 73 houses. I do not want the contract. I will finish up my 20 houses, we can cancel this contract, pay me for what I've done, and we'll build a beautiful contract people that we used to work with, our first clientele, because they are very unethical. I mean, when we came down, they suddenly told me now, when we sent the letter to our parliament, you can't do that. I said, building a relationship. Hey, if you haven't paid us, you know, sorry, so we're not going to come there, and, you know, and I said to me, please, do what you must do. I'm fortunate. As far as I'm concerned, I am not happy. You've got a string of emails explaining the situation, a simple basic thing like electricity. You expect my staff to live in the darkness. They're coming from their beautiful comfortable homes, from all over the countryside, to come and use the product, which you don't even want to pay for. Okay, you mean the next person I get back from Zambia? That's me fair, you know, I'm speaking after my meeting. And that's the attitude, you know, that's just, they're blatantly rumors. I mean, I'll ask them straight, okay, what happens if companies close down? What happens if, or why they, oh no, we don't know, they split managed their funds. Rumine, you know, under judicial management, they also, under the government, big mining companies, but that's what they do. They tell the local IHS company that is supplying the food to all the contractors. They phone for the phone to mine for the money to get paid. Sorry, you need to pay a fee, you need to get some mine. Says, no, here's where it owes us the money for the food and stuff. You phone them, get the money, and we'll reconcile later. I can't keep working to myself. No, it's not what we import. The United States business. We've been so many my little companies. I've got close to 35 individual teams from throughout the country that we develop. Staffing teams, our road police, our group directors, from Eastern Cape schools to UK housing projects, to from ESCOM projects, throughout the country. And my teams are so dedicated to the company and the bonus, the little bonus. And now we have to sit and wait for money from these people, and it's just not coming to life.
To answer your question, when you said did we follow the did we have meetings with the board members? I did. We had a meeting in January in 2016 after we now said, when are we going to start with the next houses? Because my machines, it was machines that were standing there. They refused to pay us also standing time. Yes, December was a closed down period, but then come January, we didn't hear anything from them. We approached them. Eventually, when we did have a meeting with them, their financial manager, Satish, and also the I can't remember his surname, George, they just turned around and said, but okay, did you pay these guys and did you pay these guys, and this is what's going to happen. You're only having 5 houses now. And when we explained our situation to them, they turned around and said, but we did not tell you to not carry on. That's what they use, the fact that they gave us the 5 houses, so they didn't care whether it would not be financially viable for us, because the 5 houses, on the end of the day, the 5 houses did not absorb the housing problems, it did not absorb the medical issues, it did not absorb the site establishment, and it did not absorb the additional transport costs, and also with the site de-establishment. None of those costs were absorbed by the 5 houses, and when we explained it to them and said that it will not absorb any of the funds if we have to carry on with the 5, it's just going to make the deficit bigger. They said, well, that's what we can offer you now. We don't know when we will be able to offer you another group of houses. And we walked out of that meeting with our tails between our legs, and nothing happened. They just, everything went from there, went dead quiet, until I got a phone call from Mildred, the company that I worked with, Freeglo, and she said, you need to get hold of Kurt, because your treatment that you received, they're going through exactly the same. And that's when I started to phone around, and I got hold of Kurt, and it's scary to think that a big company like that can exploit a small company. Because of that, I had 200 employees that was working for me for more than, I started my company in 2012. It was in less than 6 years, I had to close my company, and those guys have no longer, they don't have an income. I had people that I trained, that they're gone. They're gone in the work. There's no, the construction industry at the moment is taking such a bad knock. And for a company like Vedanta to exploit it even further, it's the way they're treating the South African local companies. It's unethical. There's no other words for it. It's unethical, and when it comes to business, people like that, they should.
Thanks. Honorable Abbas.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chair. The impression I'm getting is that this is not a straightforward case. I get the impression that it is complicated. When I say complicated, it's the type of case where we have to get more information. It is the type of case where we must engage with this company that's exploiting small companies. But there are certain principles that they articulate correctly. The only problem is whether those principles can properly be applied. I'll speak to some, just a few of them. You see, if they say local labor to be utilized, it is the correct principle from government. And if they say local, you know, some of the material, depending, because there are some material that can be available locally, but there are some that are not available locally. But in a way, businesses that work in areas, as government, we would like those businesses to assist, uplift those areas, either by employing the unemployed or alternatively also by utilizing some of the purchases that you need to purchase. But the problem is what happens if the labor that you need is not available. Then that needs to be negotiated, you know, so that you must be able to get the appropriate labor. But that's on one part. The other part is when you speak of arbitration, you know, I appreciate that point, because to have cases going to courts and taking a long time, by that time the small companies collapse. And the costs, those costs are neither benefiting the small companies nor the workers. So in a way, a solution needs to be seeked to that. But I also look at other departments that are closely relating to this. I'm looking at the Department of Housing, because
The DMR is also supposed to be very involved with the mining to see the unfairness of the
Yes,
mining.
Yes. No, I was about to list them as well. So I was saying the Department of Housing and the Department of the DMR itself, because we need to find out what tools they have developed thus far in anticipation of problems like these, so that we don't start right from scratch. You may find that they already have certain solutions where they met an employer like this, and you may find that Minister Sisulu dealt with that case in a certain manner. So these two departments, we need to relate to them, we as small business. But what also does worry is there is no time, you know, available, because with each day that passes, it means more harm happens to your enterprises. And because job creation and job retention is important, you know, which is what is guiding you. I mean, when you speak of people that you have worked with for a long time, that speaks, that's a good record. But
But at the same time, as you do that, I seem to hear you saying when you go to a place, you also employ local labor. Because, you know, that's important, that you can't come with pure good labor from somewhere in another province and come to a certain province and not employ some people from that province. You know that...
It's more viable for us to employ the local people.
Yeah.
To bring people in. Because the accommodation, the local people is accommodating the region.
Oh, yes.
Look at the profile on YouTube.
But let me finish the point so that I can then give over to the chair. But I also seem to see a legal case, colleague chair, in a way whether we as parliament have the legal muscle to assist and work with us, or where should that come from? Because something tells me it's not just straightforward cases. Somewhere we need to accurately spot where these people have abused the law. And we need to accurately differentiate that from where they have done things according to the law. But this pattern that you are talking of, where they use the same pattern to amass profits at the expense of small businesses. That is a serious case to us, because it means when you talk of people losing jobs, it's not just you who talks like that. It means other companies, other small companies are saying the same thing, other small companies are saying the same thing, so that it becomes a replicated thing. And who gets rich? It is just that one big company, and your companies collapse, and unemployment increases. So I have just touched on some few points, Comrade Chair, without necessarily pointing to what I can call an instant way forward. Let me pause there when one listens to the wisdom of other members of the committee.
Honourable Chair, do you have anything to say? Okay. Like we did with the previous case, there is a short-term intervention in this, where we need to make a follow-up, which brings in Vedanta here, together with the companies that have found themselves out of business as a result of. And we also need to beef ourselves up with the legal department of Parliament to assist us in that. The second issue that we see as a long-term intervention is the assessing the possibility of setting up a conflict resolution structure that resolves issues of this nature, which are affecting issues of conflict between big business and small business. Because the court route is a very long and costly route, which we wouldn't want small businesses to be subjected to. And that is a it's medium to long-term intervention, because if we facilitate a situation where there will be that conflict resolution structure, which seeks to protect small businesses from being exploited by big businesses, and also which would carry the cost of ensuring that there is legal representation, but it doesn't cost a small business because a small business doesn't have money. Then the third one is the interaction that needs to take place between this portfolio committee and the portfolio committees of the departments that provide oversight over departments. Like in this case, it's a mining company, an international mining company that is hurting small businesses of South Africa, which means we need them to engage. This portfolio committee needs to engage with the portfolio committee for minerals, for mineral resources, and the Department of Mineral Resources. Also, the department, the portfolio committee of human settlement, and the Department of Human Settlement. Between those three, a solution has to be found onto how then, in future, staff houses are provided for as a responsibility of the mining companies. But when mining companies provide that service, they do not exploit small businesses in South Africa. The fourth issue is what was raised by Honorable Chance when we were dealing with the first case. The first case involves Huawei, a company from China. And it is not the first time. It's not the conditions that were put by Huawei to Telkom are negatively affecting small companies in South Africa. It could be a gain to Telkom to say, maybe we don't know what makes Telkom to agree that repairs can be done back in China as opposed to them being done in South Africa to provide jobs in South Africa. We don't know. We still have to find out. But the name of this company is coming up for the second time. There is Bonisa that was affected by an arrangement between Cell C and Huawei. Now there is this company, which is again affected by an arrangement between Telkom and Huawei, meaning that there is a way in which Huawei does business, which then affects small businesses in South Africa negatively. The same applies to this one. It's from India. It is hurting small businesses in South Africa, according to what you are saying to us. We wouldn't want a situation where the relationship between the South African government and the Indian government and the Chinese government is used negatively by companies that are from those countries. That is the point that was raised by Honorable Chan, which we would all agree to, that A. The relationship that exists as a result of BRICS should not be the relationship that negatively affects South African companies. We have a national responsibility as Parliament to protect South African companies, to make laws that protect South African companies, create jobs for South African companies. Yes, we trade with other countries. We allow other companies to come and invest. But that investment, that direct foreign investment, should not happen at the expense of South African companies. That is the point that we want to make. So that one is a long-term also intervention. Now, again, in your situation, Vandata wrote this letter that they would want to come, but they have a commitment with the stakeholders from today to the 30th, and they will honor an invitation at a later date. Now, challenge that we have, this is our last day, we're back here in August. We don't know how the situation of your companies will be by then. But we can't see you and Vedanta before that time. And what I have explained is the route that we would want to take. We see a lot of work for this portfolio committee as a result of what you have presented to us, and we really appreciate that, because without you coming forward, we would not have seen all these gaps that require our attention.
Thank you for your assistance. We do appreciate it. We obviously, well, 3C Projects doors is closed already, and the other, what's Stoverline's closed as well. All the other companies are closed already. They liquidated already.
We would also want to get information of those companies, so that when we do the follow-up meeting, we also invite them.
Give it. Thanks a lot, this entire committee. It's Walden, which is brilliant what she's up to doing. I've been through some serious court cases financially, where this can actually release a lot of pressure from small businesses, and having that arbitration with little small court case to assist us. And I see with the way forward with the previous case we had as well, it's scary to see what happens to South African companies and foreign countries companies as well. But thanks a lot.
No, I also wanted to say it's just a pity that this case has come a little bit far down the road. You know, we wish it had come earlier, because it would have been easier to intervene earlier. But you know, the more the time goes, we are not as assisting as we wish to be, you know, because seriously speaking, we wish to be more assisting than we are sounding. But because of the intricacies and because of how far down the lane the case is, you know, the whole thing is, it's a little bit more complicated than if it had happened before you lost staff, before you lost, you know, before. Then it would have become an instant intervention, you know, it would have been easier. But of course, that's on hindsight, really.
Chair, what I wanted to propose was just to double check from my colleagues here if Vedanta is now aware that we have approached the portfolio committee. So what I would need from you going forward, perhaps like we did with the other company that was here earlier, where I've started to explore how we could engage other portfolio committees, including other government departments like your trade and industry, your economic development, because they do deal with such issues. It's just that we need to know exactly which unit of EDD, which unit of the DTI, the officials. It will be very easy for me to find the relevant officials. And from our side as well, I will engage with the chairperson to say perhaps we could develop a communique to the attention of the CEO at Vedanta to get their side of the story. I know once they see the communique from the chairperson, they tend to jump and react quite positively. It could be one of the measures that one could look at. But what I wanted to double check from you, as we have indicated, that Vedanta is quite aware of that we have approached the portfolio committee, so it's out there in the open. We can then begin to engage and engage other government departments as well. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
I think that before, I see also two things, intervention for small businesses. One of them, which the portfolio committee needs to look at, is this, maybe the establishment of a small business tribunal. And then maybe the other one, the small business rescue fund. Something that would save the small business from being liquidated because of the wrong things that are being done by big businesses. I'm looking at 3C. It's a woman-owned business, started in 2012, employed 200 people. Today, it's not there. We hear a lot of stories outside there. Some people have their small businesses, have their houses repossessed because there is no protection in terms of how to quickly deal and resolve with their issues that exist either between big businesses and government departments. But also, how do we find a way of preventing those small businesses from closing down? And I think that the portfolio committee will have to research on that and look at that. Thank you very much. We will be making a follow-up with you. Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am.
The next presentation is by the Limpopo Economic Development Leader on marginalization of small black-owned contractors by some multinational corporations. Thank you.
for the technical glitch here. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Committee Members. Good afternoon. My name is Nepo Kekana. I'm from Limpopo Economic Development Agency. We wish to thank, firstly, the Portfolio Committee for affording us the opportunity to come and present. I will elaborate as to how we ended up here, but without much further ado is that as the provincial agency, I'm sitting on a small crisis where one of our clients that recently moved into the industrial park is facing a dilemma where they don't know where they're going to be paying their employees for the next few days. And in trying to intervene and engage with the affected party and other stakeholders, we then realized that the problem is not only in Limpopo, it's in Mpumalanga and other areas. So I'm accompanied by a sample of the companies that are affected. It's Mr. Maurice Luvani from AfriWise Mining Supplies. They are a contractor to Total South Africa. I'm also accompanied by Mr. Zola Fato from Tegmut Petroleum Services. They're also a similar contractor to Total. And our tenant in Sishoko Industrial Park, Mr. Taboko Ramatri, is also a contractor to Total South Africa. Okay. Technology is failing me here. Oh. But we've presented a short dossier that's where it's outlined on the purpose was to appraise the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development on the marginalization and exclusion of black-owned contractor companies by Total South Africa, and furthermore to seek assistance on the investigation and remedy to this practice which threatens emerging contractors and some of the current contractors. On the background is Leader has clients in the Sishoko Industrial Park, and one of these is Rua Butlali. It's a level one contractor in terms of broad-based black economic empowerment credentials. The challenges that this contractor has faced was also affecting other subcontractors. That's why we brought a sample of them to this meeting, was that there are arbitrary cancellation of contracts, delays in payments of purchase orders, intimidation and the manipulation of the e-procurement system, the blacklisting of black contractors without following due process. And in this light, Leader undertook to engage with Total South Africa to no avail, and we noted that they seem to have been a sense of arrogance on the side of the company in being able to listen to us, respond to our communique, and thereby we began then to begin to think that we must find other avenues, particularly on oversight, where Total could be strategically requested to cooperate. We are worried that this continues to contribute to the 48,000 job losses that we've realized as a country in quarter one. I'm not saying we've lost 48,000 because of this, but the numbers, if we go into the numbers that we've done, just on the six companies that were brave enough to come together and say, this is a collective program, we are not competitors, but we need to begin to collaborate together to be world-class suppliers to Total South Africa, and we're able to sit down and share information. We've highlighted the six companies there, by name. We have the contact details. Dube Engineering was terminated. The affected parties there is almost 57 employees. The total number of just these six companies, we're looking at about 270 livelihoods that are being affected, including about 46 youth that are employees, 64 women, and indirect company employees that are subcontractors and service providers to these companies to the tune of 204. That 270 is just the direct employees. If we then come and look at it, is that the demise of these six companies presents a huge socio-economic challenge in terms of the direct employees that are affected are 270, and in this current debacle, we believe there's a whole lot more companies. The other companies are possibly feeling intimidated to be able to come to the floor and collaborate as Total South Africa Black Contractors Forum to share areas of color. So the companies that we're aware of is Gauteng, two companies, Limpopo, that is one, Mpumalanga, one, Western Cape and Free State. This is not a scorecard, Honorable Chairperson. It is just that the provincial agencies are now beginning to wake up and begin to collaborate. So when we speak to Gauteng Growth and Development Agency, to the Free State Development Corporation, it's the same problem that we're facing. Emerging contractors come into the industrial park, a year or so later they cannot afford to pay their rents. So the dependence on these employees on our calculation, taking a dependency ratio on average for the nine provinces, of that one salary looks after six people. We're looking at about 1,600 livelihoods that will be directly affected. The situation could become dire when black contractors in other companies face a similar predicament due to, we believe, is a very strong lack of internal transformation and executive transformation. We believe what exists in the multinational corporation between the executives and the frontline people, there is an umbrella which shields the current status quo, the continued marginalization of black contractors, and maintaining the Baki Brigade as the preferred suppliers and contractors due to areas of historical relationships. Furthermore, on that historical analysis is that we believe there's a risk of further marginalization, noting the increase in the number of black contractors. This morning, Mr. Zola got another email basically requesting him to vacate site, noting that these contractors met yesterday to outline what their challenges. So the sequence of events is a bit worrying. Such a decision, we believe, would have followed procedure. The failure to allow these contractors to approach the CEO of Total by middle management in Total, we believe is very unfair and unfamiliar behavior, particularly in a democratic developmental state where all parties need to talk together to reach some sort of consensus. The black contractors have already incurred debts, such as rents, salaries, stocks and materials, and more concerning is the negative investor perception and market credibility challenges that these companies face. We will outline a predicament that my client, Rua Butlali, are facing. There's also growing hostility on the black contractors' opportunity and democratic right to collaborate in a collaborative and cooperative manner in addressing their challenges with Total South Africa. This problem, we believe, could be much higher and has cross-cutting interventions, and it is a transversal problem in the small business development area. I think you correctly pointed out in the previous submissions by the various other members that other key national departments could be facing similar challenges. You know, in this field, it's possibly Department of Energy, because these companies would be governed by the Liquid and Petroleum's Charter and its other instruments. The private sector maintenance, repair and overhaul budget in the country is almost three times the national government's annual goods and services budget. And we believe that this is now being ring-fenced for untransformed companies to retain the status quo and exclude black contractors. We will be commissioning studies just to do that in more detail. Furthermore, on the situation and analysis, that we have a client, Rua Butlali, whom have taken initiative to grow from a small enterprise to an SMME to a company that is ready now to go into partnership with an internationally recognized company in China, where if you look at the following slides, this is a project that we've been helping this company to build. This project is now at stage. This was where the client was looking at cooperating with China New Building Materials to look at pilot housing technology in Hamatlala. Housing remains a problem for all of us, and the way is to find quicker technology to localize, to empower our companies, becomes a joint collaboration It is not only the mandate or the responsibility of human settlements, but our SMMEs have to participate. Their footprint has already gone to a state where they had acquired land in Bakoni Tribal Council, and they were beginning to work with a housing development agency to address the housing backlog in Limpopo in partnership with China. The situational analysis is outlined. This is an example of the project that is going to collapse because of Rua Butlali being a victim of marginalization. I just want to skip through the slides and go to that they've identified the land, 20 hectares of land, where they'll start with the pilot work in partnership with the Chinese. The project plan is already in the draft MOU with the Chinese, and you can see the very tight timelines. Unfortunately, the total South Africa marginalization drive comes at a critical stage where these clients were about to go to China to embark on a partnership with the Chinese. Now, how do you go to talk to an international conglomerate when your local supplier goes around giving you letters of termination of contract without following due process? So that is the urgency with which the other companies are possibly in a similar predicament. It is unfortunate that we did not engage what the risks are. With your approval, Chairperson, I just want to highlight that not only the jobs that are being lost, but the credibility of these companies to attract investment partners, to structure competitive agreements with the likes of the CSIR, is being compromised. As you can see, the plans were in a very far advanced stage where 10 houses were going to be built for poor communities. The ceremony was going to be handed over in June and July, but this has been put on the back burners because of the current predicament. And in the CDM potential partnership would have unlocked two more additional phases in terms of being able to collaborate, where now the whole enterprise in the next 5 years would have gone to us seeing almost 6.3 billion rands coming into the country to provide almost 25,000 targeted houses in this project, split as 2,700 in Mopani, 7,100 in Vembe, 6,000 in Capricorn, 3,500 in Skukuni, in Waterberg, and almost 5,600 in Skukuni. We haven't unlocked the other SMMEs that have been benefiting from this partnership. So what I'm saying is that here is a goose that lays the golden egg, but it is being compromised to proceed with this magnificent program because of the way Total is treating them. And slide 20 outlines the conclusion and recommendations and the next steps that this company had made progress, including the support from LEADER and the support from CNPM, in being able to participate as an EPCM in this huge project. I'm sure the other companies, the other plant contractors in the Total stable are facing similar challenges. That was just an example, honorable members, and through you, Chairperson. I just want to go to the recommendations. Prior to the recommendations, we've also asked them that, have you engaged with Total? They had a black contractor meeting where they all found they had similar challenges. That was in June. They had a briefing with LEADER where we engaged with them on the 19th of June, and yesterday again. A letter was sent to Total South Africa CEO, and a workshop amongst the top 10 of these 10 Total Black Contractors Forum. They're now looking at working as a support group to begin to address some of their challenges. And today was, today was a more sobering day, in a sense that from about 2 months of constant harassment, this is about the only progressive day where I could see this gentleman smile, that the portfolio committee is giving them an opportunity to hear them out. We hope the engagement with Total will continue. And in that light, we believe that this is not an isolated Total incident. It's possibly an incident affecting many of the companies in the country. Hence, we are encouraged to listen to some of the recommendations that this August House and the spirit of guidance that honorable members and the chairperson are guiding to where to go forward. Unfortunately, these trial companies don't have luxury of time. The recommendations are three. One is that the portfolio committee notes the brief presentation based on the inputs of the current six Total South Africa contractors. That we seek that the portfolio committee advises and seek avenues to assist in the following three deliverables. That the purchase orders that are in the systems be processed within 15 days in alignment with government procurement policy. Some of the clients are being harassed, begin to say your purchase order is in the system, they are not being paid, as a measure to make sure that, I'm not sure whether it is such a thing as to make sure that the business collapses. There is proof to that effect and that can be given. That we also request avenues to look at the reappointment of the terminated contractors, that if they, of the terminated contractors, and that the current contractors that are in place, that those remain in place. What we are appealing for is that we wish that Total South Africa can find it in their heart to have a spirit of working together to be able to say, we've caused enough chaos, let the CEO sit with the contractors and let's find remedies and avenues to terminate what the middle managers and the coalface anti-progressive elements within Total that they're doing. And three, that Total South Africa and other multinationals corporations strengthen their corporate social investment and the commitment to radical economic transformation by noting that the Black Supplier Development Program is a national program that we must all supply, subscribe to and support, as opposed to the current system where they are manipulating system. That the support for the government-led Black Industrialist Program is strengthened. Rua Butale are now compromised because we were also putting them on the Black Supplier Program. Now the poor guys, you know, the poor company is just battling to pay rent in our industrial park. And for me as the head of investment, I found that it was my civil duty to begin to say, no, we cannot evict you. Let us find other avenues. Unfortunately, there are six other companies that were able to say, yes, we're in a similar predicament. Unfortunately, as you can see, that it's sad for me to see a client and a father cry to say, how am I going to tell my kids that next week I have to take you to a different school or you have to go and stay with your grandmother and put further strain on the SASSA payments that your grandmother is getting. Because here is a company, an international company, which has on its website a global ethical code of conduct, which has on its website quality-trained managers from some of the best institutions in France. But they come here, refuse to talk to our companies, refuse to collaborate, and treat these companies as corn and fodder. And also that the other challenge is that these emerging contractors and these black contractors are not given the NEMO contracts, which are the large contracts. So that is the recommendation. I've brought the gentleman here in case there's questions and other specifics that this August House may require. I thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much for listening to us, Portfolio Committee members, Honourable members. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I will open an opportunity for members to ask questions and make comments. Honourable Chance, followed by Honourable Kappa, and then Honourable Mabas.
Thank you, sir. I didn't get your name, sorry.
Oh.
Mr.
My name is Nepo Kekana.
Nepo Kekana.
Okay. Kekana.
Kekana,
yes.
Right.
As in Steve Kekana.
I got it. So, what you're describing on the surface of it seems to be a pattern of maltreatment by Total SA of subcontractors, right? So what I'd like to ask is for the representative from Rua Botlatli to just tell his story. What happened? What got you into the position that you are in today? And what, maybe there are other gentlemen here from some of the other companies, you know, because, you know, there are serious allegations here. But I think for us to pursue is we need to understand exactly what happened so that we can understand the possible remedies.
Thank you, Honorable. And thank you for the opportunity. I'll just try to be short. Just get to the point where... Okay, this thing started a long time ago, 2015 actually, where we were... Basically what happened, Total said, look, we've got few contractors that are doing your work, pump and tank, and so what we're going to do, we're not going to make you guys to compete. What we're going to do, we're going to give you contracts. So what, because now you are province-based, like the footprint, what we'll do, it will also enable them to actually manage us. So what they'll do, they gave us the contract, they made us to sign the contracts to say, we will just give you the site. Then you can, so that you can be able to plan as to which side you're going to start with, and the second, and the third, and the fourth. And that was it. And they started doing that. But to our surprise, on some of the sites when we get to, there's already people who are working there, and we were not told anything. And for you to prepare for the site, it's quite cost money. And we let that go because in 2005, we never actually did any work. We just survived. And 2000 and we learned later on that they were actually investigating someone from Limpopo, so that's why we ended up not getting our jobs, and we didn't do anything. We didn't say anything to Total. And say in 2016 they started giving us our the projects that they, some of the ones that they had blocked, and then they opened and they say we can go and work, and we started working. And very recent, in December, we were busy with the site in Vila Vila. And to our surprise, okay, what then happened is that there was when we were working, there was an underground water. And when there was underground water, basically it's safety issue, so we have to use... There are methods that we have to use. And they said, okay, this is a problem that in Cape Town, the contractors have a problem with it. So we will find someone who can actually come and deal with the underground water. And then you can continue to do your work. And that's exactly what happened. And we continued doing our work. But in January, when we put an invoice, and one guy... Okay, the one of the employees came back to us to say, I'm not able to pay you. Say, but why? And he said, I'll find out. When he found out, he sent me an email. But on that email, he sent me an email, but there were emails underneath. And the emails underneath were the communication within the management to say, block that contractor, you must not get paid. And he must not even get work from Total anymore. And I asked, and there was a long communication until they said, okay, open him, pay him, let him finish his work, and from there, he's no longer going to get any work from us. But there was no communication to us. There was not even one. And we took it to our, because now when we are working with the engineers of the company, you know, and the engineers are saying, hey, Jesus, there's a problem here. We don't know what's happening. But there is instruction from above that we must block you. And we took upon ourselves to go and ask, to say, can we have a meeting with you, Total, to ask exactly what is happening. Eventually, on the 8th of April, they agreed to meet us. This was the purchasing manager and the engineering manager. But the purchasing manager and the engineering manager said they do not know what is happening. And what they will do, they will go and investigate, and they will come back to us. And it was on a Monday, they said they'll come back to us on a Friday. Then on Friday, they never came back to us. The following week, the purchasing manager sent us an email to say, I am still investigating your concerns within, then I will get back to you. And I went back to her and said, thank you. Then from there, nothing happened. May finished, and then it was June. Now we finished even the work that we're doing. The site is going live, now it's going to work. Then we go and ask, but because we are contractors, when we talk and when we meet, and then we find out that we have a similar problem with other contractors. So what we did, we said, okay, all else contractors, let's just find out why are we experiencing the same thing, you know, throughout. And
we when you say similar problem, can you give a bit of detail? Sorry, Chair.
Okay, the similar problem will be a whole lot of us are being investigated without knowledge. No one ever came to us to tell us what exactly are we being investigated for. That is the similar problem. Then what we did, we took it upon ourselves to send an email, to write an email to say, can we ask to meet with the CEO at least? Because seemingly some of the contractors had already tried to engage some of the management, but there was no joy. And some, they even went with their lawyers. I think they had meetings. But we never had anything. We never had a meeting with Total. The only meeting we had with Total is the one that we asked for. And then we wrote a letter as six companies to say we are asking for intervention, because there are individuals within Total that are actually out there to make sure that blue contractors do not continue, you know, work. And there's proof, these things that, you know, they did that, you know, made us to believe that. And that's why we thought maybe the best thing is to, maybe if we can address this thing with the CEO, you know, maybe he can go back and say, guys, what is happening? But instead, we sent the letter on a Monday. Instead of response, on Tuesday, we get a termination letter to say we're no longer going to do business with you.
Can you tell us who got the business after you were terminated, after your company's contracts were terminated, who actually got the business to do the work?
Honorable, that is what we are actually fighting for, because in their letter of termination, they say they stopped us in December. But we continued doing our work. We finished the site that we were building. The site is operational. We did the site. We finished the site.
Sorry, the reason I ask the question is you've made a specific allegation. The Total is marginalizing black businesses, black suppliers. Now, you may be right, but I asked the question earlier just now because for us to see some proof of that, we have to see that non-black businesses, in other words, white or businesses, are getting the business that you appear to have been blacklisted from getting in the future. The point that you made, that the other point is that you haven't been paid for your work. That's a separate issue. It's an important issue. But I think we need to distinguish between the two.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity, and I'd like to greet everyone. And just to come in there, I do have a specific answer to that. I'd like to maybe give a small background also about us, which is a sample, which is really the same to all of us. We're not fly-by-night black contractors. We are, for instance, myself, same as the other six contractors we are representing or talking about. I'm a mechanical engineer. I worked 10 years for Sasol. Basically, I designed the specification for garages and the depots. I've been a key person there. I worked for Total for 3 years and all of that. Right now, in 2013, I started Tegmal Petroleum Services to basically do pump and tank. That means to build garages, service stations, and to do depot services. And same as him and the others. We did not only just do the work because we know we comply to everything that we should comply to. Black contractors, almost all of us have got ISO 9000 certifications, ISO 14000 certifications, and ISO 18001 certifications, which none of the non-black or white contractors have got. That is a fact. All right. We are the contractors right now that are in this situation, and we believe that this is not about performance, or it's not about what we do. We've got proofs of such, right? In our case, we received a letter last week after we've been hearing rumors that we will be blacklisted, but we could not do anything on rumors. We had to wait for something official, which we got last week, Tuesday, after we met and as black contractors, because in the process of the rumors we're hearing that won't be getting work, there was nothing coming, and even the some jobs that we were having, to come to a specific question, I've got a garage that I was starting 4 weeks ago in Northwest, and that job, today I received a letter that I must vacate site. And it is believed that it is given to a white contractor. I don't know if I need to mention it, but yeah, we know the contractor that we'll be getting, but they are not sent yet. That's one of the confirmations we've got now. We've been hearing, because we all know the specific individuals. It's not a lot of them. It's about two or three of them that are behind all of this. In our case, I've got 8 allegations from 2014 up to now that were made by one specific individual in attempt to get us blacklisted. But at least in the 8 allegations, the process was followed. The process has got 7 steps. Anyone can make an allegation to anyone. Now, the total wouldn't have to cancel a blacklist because someone made an allegation. You call the person, they account for that. So that was followed. So in the 8 attempts, that could not hold the waters. Right, and this time they never followed any process. They just have an allegation in our case that we've got 4 contracts in different provinces where we are basically caretakers or retainer contracts for the mines. They say 2 years we never done anything in the mine. We've been getting paid. Now that is a very lame allegation because one has got substantiated for 2 years being paid. I'm talking about 300,000 being paid for nothing, and when I produce proof, say no, that's not true. We've got proof. We've got fingerprints in the mine. We've been getting in there, here, the before and after jobs we've been doing, and all of that. Nobody wants to come to the party, but the allegation is that we've never done anything. So process was not followed in that instance. We learned last week that basically that's the allegation that we have. So in those cases, we really have proof that. White contractors are taking over the sites where we are unduly been removed. Okay, so as it is right now, for us, I've got 8.5 million rands worth of purchase orders that are at stake. I've got 65 employees that I do not know whether to tell them stay home, I'm firing you, or I'm retrenching you, or wait. Each day costs me at least 100,000 rands. So the more there's a delay, is the more it becomes costly. And I think the situation is fresh enough that if the committee was to intervene, everything would still go back to normal.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with that on the purpose. There's that phrase you say on marginalization and exclusion of black-owned contractors. I think there is something missing there. Maybe that is why Honorable Chance needs you to prove that then after that a black contractor was brought in. I do suspect that maybe you may design some other way of putting this because it makes sense, or on this marginalization and exclusion you can put something else. There is something else that is missing, whether it's unfair treatment or abuse, but there is something that you want to say which is happening to these black contractors. which may not be accurate when you say exclusion, but there is something which needs to be clarified and to be corrected. That's one thing I'm noting. But now, I also believe that maybe after all this, the best thing to do is to have a formal letter which requests the intervention, which would then be accompanied by this input, which I think empowers the chairperson and the committee to get involved, or even invite other relevant committee, I mean portfolio committees, who and the department who are relevant in this situation, because there's quite a lot of other involved departments which are supposed to be involved here, is in the process of the intervention. It's clear that another thing which also needs you to keep very clear or keep safe is because always advantages will be taken, and sometimes weaknesses, your own weaknesses, become your disadvantage. I'll give you one stupid example. When I was engaging tractors for plowing, the black tractor owners would come. It's good, let's give them the job. He comes with his two tractors and he's working for, it's clear that he's going to cover this land over 3-4 months. Now we're worried because the season is running out. We need someone to work now. When we go and look for someone who's going to work now, we get a white contractor who will come with 15 tractors and do the job and get money, because this is what we want. And this is always some of the weaknesses that our people experience. That is why, therefore, it's when you look at how you are being mishandled or being treated unfairly, keep safe, make sure that it's not said that because you are not performing, that's the reason why someone else is needed. But one thing, I'm insisting that there is something but that is wrong, which is to be done, because besides what your input here, I've heard several times black contractors crying all over, even those I know personally, always cry that we're not getting paid, we're not given the jobs are given to the big ones, they are the ones who select us or who decide who must come and so on. So this, I think this should be a formal request of intervention, because to me it's a long-term solution that is needed in trying to solve the problems of the black business. And also, you also assist if you suspect that there might be some element of corruption or someone bribes his way or whatever, because all those things are possible. These are all human activities, all things are possible, because those are things which must be eradicated when they exist. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Now, Comrade Gapa has covered me on the proposal of the way forward of a formal letter which requests intervention, because that will attempt to address the short term. But when I say attempt, I say so advisedly, because that is the best that the committee can do and hope for the best. And we cannot know exactly how Total will respond. And we will be doing this without having heard the side of Total. So it's important that we take it that as you inform the committee, you are objective, because it's very important. You know, it's like if you speak to a lawyer that represents you, and you only give the bright side about yourself, and you don't mention the weaknesses, you are disempowering that lawyer. So if there is anything that you should correct, you should correct just so that we end up with the right version. And then the other, but let me challenge you there to say, I want us to look at two things. One, we are saying it's how many different companies of black people are affected by this? It's how many?
For now, they came together.
It's six, right? It's six. And all of them are in Limpopo? All over the country. And all of them are suffering the same problem. And you realize, you think, no? Because if it's six, six is too high for a common problem. You know, it must worry us. But if it was one or two, we could easily say, yes, maybe that company made a mistake. But then my second question is, can you list, even if it is about three, weaknesses which you think are failures on your part? Because, you know, in life we don't necessarily expect you to be perfect, but if you scratch hard, what do you think you did wrong, or what do you think was perceived to be wrong to be used as an excuse by Total? If there is none, you just signal to me to say none. But if there is, I will be happy, because it will be good if it comes from you. It wouldn't be great if when we meet Total says, oh, those people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, until 10. So through the chair's permission, let me, while awaiting that, indeed, subcontracting is a problem that worries us as government. Because even in housing, we realize that the subcontracted people, most of them are exploited, and most of them end up not being able to pay the employees, and even labor relations fall through the fingers. But I think if you can answer me on what you think are weaknesses, or what you perceive Total articulates as your weaknesses, I will end there. If I can listen to that chair, comment, chair.
Yes, ma'am. It's not subcontracting. We are contractors. We are main contractors.
Oh, you are main contractors.
Not subcontracting. We are main contractors to Total.
Total. Okay. Yes. Let's go ahead with my question.
Can I just maybe give a little bit of background, which will also add up to the question that the Honorable has raised, which I don't know if it was answered to their satisfaction. Just to try and clear up our side of the story, and in conjunction with all of my colleagues. And I would like to say thank you for the Portfolio Committee to give us this opportunity that we can come and present our case in, so that we can get a platform where we can engage with Total and try and resolve this situation. So what I would say is that from our side as AfriWise, we joined Total in 2014, towards the late of 2014, working with Total. And then we started by, it was a time of load sheddings and everything. So we got orders for installing backup generators in the field service stations. So which, when we start that project, when we get like 10, 20 orders at the same time, where we were supplying these big generators, and then because it's a huge capital, it's a generator that the cost is about 170,000 each. So we, as I got those orders, and then I was advised that there is a something like small black develop, small economic black developments, which we can be paid a certain amount up front, which I invoice 50%, which I was expecting for Total to advance us to be able to carry that project, because. So, which Total fails to do, I got a reply that no, I won't be able to be advanced. So, we expect you to deliver. Total pays on delivery. Once you deliver, we pay you. Then I went and sourced for funds, and then I got funds, and I deliver all those projects. And then, unfortunately, is that the company that helped us with funds, they did finance from the bank to be able to finance those generators, which we were paying installment on a monthly basis. So we carried out that project, that was it, and then we got other projects. We got another big one, which was for the fabrication of additive tanks for Bethlehem, and two tanks for Bethlehem, two tanks for Oryxstad. So they said they want us to start with the Bethlehem. They issue us with the wrong drawings initially. When we queried, there was a delay, and it took us 2 months to get the right approved drawings. So from the way product fabrication happens is that we will get drawings, and then we produce manufacturing drawings, which is subject to approval from their consulting engineers. So which it was a back and forth, and then they were giving, you know, at the end of the day, when we look into the whole thing, we were being set for failure. There were some changes here and there, because if this was a project that was done, because they keep saying these things, we have done them before. We just want them as previous. It's just that there's two changes here and there. But by the look of the situation, certain things were just changed just to test if we know what we are doing. So fortunate enough, we had a strong engineering team who could pick up mistakes. We passed that one. And then from there, after the approved drawings were done, then we send an invoice. Actually, we fabricate the tanks and complete the tanks, and then we send an invoice for the work done. They said no. We pay once. We're talking about the 2.2 million worth of a project. And then right in the middle of the project, as we're working, we were supposed to install the piping, interconnecting pipe work as well. We were awarded an order complete with interconnecting pipe work and everything. So we were just told, you're not doing the pipe work, somebody else will do the pipe work. And we're sitting with the order. Then that's when the argument started from that side. And we feel it's unfair that we only learn to know that we are not supposed to do this, and not in a proper manner, like we did when we get awarded the order. So then for raising question and all that, we became targets. And then there comes another tender briefing where we went to they invited us on a tender briefing for installation of a vapor recovery plus those tanks. And then after the briefing there, that's when we picked up there's something here. Then the consulting engineer conduct the briefing, and the name, I can provide the name if it's required. Then they conduct the briefing, they tell us once we finish, and they said, he's talking to the other contractors. Guess what? In fact, another contractor asked, where is the VRU? He said the VRU will arrive on such and such a date. And the additive tank, he said, guess what? Total has appointed another contractor. Nobody has ever heard of them. And I'm supposed to manage them. And I'm there. And then that thing disturbs me. I said, actually we are the contractors. He said, oh, okay. Oh, so now that you are here, maybe you can tell us what is happening. I said, no, we're waiting for those drawings that you're presenting here. We were supposed to get those drawings on time so that we can get going. But we don't know where to go. So that's when the whole thing started. I feel there is something. And then I took it up with a lady at a procurement. The lady said, there's nothing I can do right now, but these people, the reports that they send about you guys when you tender, they don't send a report that we can you can get any PO. Because we present this because even those companies that they want them to get the project, they started from the same basis. So why did it happen to those ones and it can't happen to you guys? So the procurement becomes not communicating well with a consulting engineer, like procurement is doing their own thing when they sit in the tender committee, when they present the tenders, that they seem to choose what is against the consulting engineer and maybe other engineers at total. So we carry on like that, and then that tender, for some reason, it was launched. Total has got a platform called Ariba. It's a system, automated system, where all the companies, if we can tender online, they invite all the subcontractors that are selected to tender on that. They call it e-auction. It's got terms and conditions which needs to be accepted. Then we were invited to tender on that installation. And then it happens, we accepted all the terms and conditions. And then we tendered. We tender, we won that project. When we won that project, the value was 6.8 million. Then I was asked to confirm the price. I confirmed the price that, yes, I accept the price as it is. So the lady said, okay, adjust your BOQ to match the tender, the accepted price. So I was busy with that, and the next thing I hear, this engineer who was looking for Bethlehem, he came back, he said, this will never happen over my dead body. If a company called Artin Project is not doing that work, then take me off that site. I'm not working on that site unless you give me Artin Project. Then that tender was taken just like that. No information, no letter, no communication. And then when I was delivering the additive tank, that's when I see that tender is already taken, because this company was already installed the VRU. So I was still finding the way. I took it with my legal team to work on it, because to check at all the total terms and conditions and what happened, so that we can take it up with total legally. So that was it. Another thing, incident, is when we were delivering these tanks, there is a safety file that we produce for the scope of work that we are going to do, which is subject to be approved by Total prior any work can commence. So we went there and do that work and do that safety file. After that, they approved, they said we can go to site. We hire a crane and everything. And remember, this project took almost a year and 2 years to be done. It was like a 6 month project, but with the delays and everything, it was completed in the second year. And we also advised them that there will be variation, because even the changes that they put at the last stage of the fabrication, it affected the cost of the tanks. We did that. We battled to get our money, and then that portion that was given to that contract, we forfeited it, and then we take it up, we issue a variation invoice. Even today, it's not paid. And that money that we spend on that variation, it's the money that we were supposed to pay other suppliers. We are in big debts as a company, and then we already started reducing our staff member. A lot of people are losing work due to this. And then something that happens to answer honorable, to give a background of maybe something that will be like a downfall to us, that someone, if he's setting you up for failure, he makes sure he will get you somehow. He check at your financial muscle. And as a black contractors, we are not strong financially. And you find when we go to the banks, some of us don't even have overdraft. Our background were not too good when we start the business, so we were not that credible. So we depend on other personal fundings to run our business. So to do a project and deliver and our cost is gone, it kills us completely. So there comes this other company. They fail to pay for the debit order were not serviced for the generators. They approached Total. They said, AfriWise is not paying us. Now we want to repossess the generators. And then Total entertained that company and call us. We sit in the meeting. They said, AfriWise, remedy this. We had to go and get another funder to come and fund us to pay for that debt. So they used that against us, but they didn't pay us for an amount like 800,000. So they use us that against us. Yes, from our side we are wrong, but they contribute to fail us because they receive, but they never paid. So yeah.
My flight is 5:30.
Okay.
I was supposed to be out of here by 3:30.
Okay.
Other members have already gone because this is the last day in Parliament. But what I want us to arrive at is that we are not hallucinating. These stories are real. That is what is happening out there. Small business is marginalized. That is what is happening in this meeting. Yes, it started with just two companies, Nila Trading and Monisa. And because that meeting was televised, and also because those people meet in goals, the word has spread and has given our small businesses guts to come out to the portfolio committee. In the past, they were not coming to the portfolio committee. Others would just have their companies closed down, liquidated, they keep quiet. Others, they commit suicide. Others, they divorce. Others, they take children out of school. Those are real stories. So coming here is the best solution because this is a law-making institute. We have laws in this country, and where there are gaps that require new laws to be made, it's the responsibility of this institution. But to be then specific and come back to your problem. Again, we are going to have a short-term solution, short-term intervention, and a long-term intervention. The short-term intervention is what was proposed by Honorable Mabas, that without a letter and then this. Even letters from the six companies. We can't move forward. You have to give us that so that we can then engage Ututas. That is the first intervention. The long-term intervention is to correct the practice, because if presentations that have been made in this meeting today indicate good air. It's a common practice. We then need to get to the bottom of it. And also, one member during this presentation said, it's only three people in the campus, which then means good air. In the process of engaging the big companies, we also need to separate a practice that is done by the company and something that is done by employees against the policy of the company, so that those bad apples within companies can face the music. Because Total is as important as these companies. Therefore, we need to get to the bottom so that we can understand whether this is what Total wants its contractors to be treated. This is the way Total wants its contractors to be treated. And if it is not Total, then who inside Total is doing that, and how Total is dealing with that. But then you have raised other issues that need a response. Like when you have to go and borrow money and then you are not paid on time, and that money that you have borrowed is accruing interest, how do we then address those issues in terms of putting in place systems that will make it possible for small businesses not to suffer? And that has to be done by the department that accounts to this portfolio committee. That is another long-term intervention. But I want to say I thank you very much for coming here and presenting these things to us, these problems. Without you coming forward, we would not have known. We really thank you for that. I also want to thank members for looking at these issues from a common perspective. When the meeting started, there was a misunderstanding that happened between myself and Honorable Kruger. And during a break, we cleared that up. I misunderstood what he was saying. What he was saying was that we need to apply the cabinet resolution to address public state-owned companies and government companies. That cabinet memo speaks to that. But in the absence of an instrument to address the private companies, this committee has got a responsibility to ensure that we find that instrument. That is what he was saying. And I thought that it is important to clear that, because I had misunderstood him. And we are in one in saying if there is no instrument in place, legal instrument in place, that is addressing big companies who are exploiting small companies, this committee has got a responsibility to deal with that. Bob Mabaso, you had your hand up.
No, it was only to say with this one, it's the chair may have to consider consulting the chair of DMR in seeking for the short-term intervention. And even as we work for medium-term, long-term, we like you to walk the journey together. But then the other last point is that we are very impressed, you know, when we see young people like yourselves being so highly qualified, being black. Because the impression that we are given everywhere where we go is that these black people are so useless, you know. That's what they are fit for. But when we find that you have gone properly to school, you are well qualified, even as you go down the journey, you must know that if you hold yourself properly, behave properly, you are leading properly and you are likely to produce another generation of engineers. Well done about that.
Now, I just wanted to thank this committee to give, for giving us an opportunity.
I just wanted to thank this committee for giving us an opportunity to come here and present our case. It was really frustrating us. You know, the only thing that we needed to do was to just have a communication with the CEO and find out what is wrong. But in the absence of making that not happening, I think this committee will help us. And thanks.
Chair, yes. Obviously, time is of the essence here. Businesses can't run on thin air. So I would recommend that the chairperson writes to the CEO of Total, as well as to the CEO of Redanta, letting them know that we are taking this matter very seriously and are investigating, and wish the CEOs of both companies to respond with details of why they have terminated these contracts. It cannot wait until we return on the 1st of August. It has to be investigated now, and I'm more than willing, based as I am in Johannesburg, to visit the CEO of Total personally, and on behalf of the committee, Mr. Honorable Mabasa is welcome to join me. I know he's based in Johannesburg as well. Request answers.
Yes.
The only addition will be to say, because the key here is to ask why, but also to have that part that says, in the meantime, restore things to normality while we seek for a solution.
Yes, okay. Thank you very much. I think the letters that we spoke about for all the contractors have already been drafted, so we can send them very shortly because every day is costly to us. When they say, write us an email like now, say vacate the site with no reason and anything like that, to take the things out, if they say go back, to take them back again is a lot of money because it's trucks and cranes and everything. So even if we get a solution later on, it might be too costly. So I'm very happy to hear that there is a possibility that there could be intervention quickly.
And I also commend Chair that your legal advisors must always believe that there is something protecting them, someone in the law. You must always look for that thing that protects them, or that can save. That's your responsibility always, including identifying areas where the laws that we have are having some weaknesses or loopholes that can help us to steal.
Thank you very much. I think the for both chat and this group, there is a need for immediate intervention in terms of writing letter to the CEO of Redanta and the CEO of Total. And also, when we Parliament is not in session, it doesn't mean that we don't do the work of Parliament. It just means that we can't meet. But going on site and visiting and having those meetings, it's something that can be done. Then in the letters that I will be writing, I will also indicate that there are members of this portfolio committee that will then visit and engage during the period where we are closed, so that we make sure that what you have said in terms of the cost is taken into account. Thank you very much. The meeting is closed.
Exactly four.
Yeah, so it's just a